The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ with Stephen Fleury.
Christ's ministry on this earth did not revolve around himself, but it revolved around his Father. Many people disbelieve that. And if you look at John 1 and verse 18, it states that Christ came to this earth to declare his Father. Now, we obviously do follow Christ's example. He commanded that. But still, Jesus Christ declared the Father. And did you know that there's only a little flock of people that actually believe this gospel message, because it is the gospel, and it all revolves around the Father?
Indeed, the Father is the central figure of the true gospel message that Jesus preached. He came to reveal the Father. He came to declare the Father. We'll look at that scripture more closely as we proceed. But as my father brought out there in that clip from 2020, he didn't come to talk about himself. Yes, he said, follow my steps. Yes, he said, look at my example. But he pointed the disciples, and he's pointing us today to the Father of the God family. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. On this program, we carefully examine the only reliable source of information that there is when it comes to Jesus Christ and his teachings. What did Jesus teach? Well, you find it in the Holy Bible. That's the reliable source. That's the source that has the verse that says, I came to declare the Father. I didn't come to do my own thing. I didn't come to come up with something original. I came to point you to the Father of the family. Father, Son. God said when Jesus was born, this is my beloved Son. When he was baptized, this is my beloved Son. And Jesus looked to his Father as exactly that, his heavenly Father. Today we're going to feature the God family vision, which we've offered before on this program, but it's worth looking at again. This book says that our number one passion should be to declare the Father. You know what it means to declare. It means to distribute, dispense, declare, proclaim. That's the message that Jesus brought. And there's so many traditional Christians today that think everything revolves around Christ. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is important. There's no doubt about that. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ set us a perfect example. Jesus Christ, though, leads us to the Father, our Heavenly Father. Look at John 14 to begin with, just to bring in a few points from the last program that we recorded, where we talked about abiding with the God family, dwelling with God, just like it says about Jesus in John 1 and verse 1 and also verse 18. We'll come to John 1 again here in a moment. But verse 23 here of John 14, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, God the Father, Christ the Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll dwell with him. On the last episode, I talked about that word for abode and how it's the Greek word mone, and it's only mentioned in verse 2 and verse 23 of John 14. God wants us to abide with him and with Jesus Christ. It's a family plan. We've talked previously on an older program about Arimus, the word for a faraway place, going off into the wilderness or into the mountains, as Jesus often did, to pray to the Father, to draw strength from the Father, to receive the power of God from the Father. You put Aramis together with Monet, talking to God, communing with God, dwelling with God. How close are you to God? And how close does God want you to be? Jesus said, I was right in the bosom of the Father. Perfect love between these two. A perfect example of the kind of relationship that God wants with you. I'll just read to you 1 John 2 and verse 24. It says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, in any father-son relationship in the physical realm, obviously there's an authority, there's a centrality to that family living that revolves around the father, the dad. If it's built right, now I know Satan has done everything in his power to turn the family upside down, to make it dysfunctional. And in many cases, the father is gone missing. But the way the Bible defines the roles in marriage and family, the father is to be the leader, the head. And that may not be a popular message in today's world, but it's the truth of the Bible. We can't apologize for that. The reason Satan has targeted the family, the traditional family, is because he's going after the spiritual family of God. He's attacking God the Father, Christ the Son. And the fact that our calling ultimately brings us into God the Father's abode, his home, his dwelling place. God wants a special relationship with you, but we have to want that relationship with him the way that Jesus Christ did. Let's go to John 1. I know we've been to this chapter several times in the recent weeks that we've produced this program. But in John 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. He became God's Son when he came in the flesh. But he was just the first. Romans 8 calls him the firstborn of many brethren or brothers and sisters. What does that mean? The reason I emphasize these points that should be obvious is because the world is in ignorance of this purpose, this plan, even the world of religion, as they come up with false doctrines that shut family members out of God's abode. It limits God. God is creating an ever-expanding family. He wants more sons, just like his own son, Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, there are hundreds of verses that bear this out. I don't have time to cover all of them in a half hour, but they're there. That's why you've got to study your Bible. That's why you've got to prove all things. That's why you've got to see for yourself. Look into the truth. Look into the Bible. See what God says. That's why we say so often, don't believe me. Read along with me. Read the Bible. See what it says. This is the authoritative Word of God. This is what we base the content for these programs on. It comes out of the Bible. We're here to promote the Bible. We're here to declare the truth of the Bible, to declare the Father of the family. My father wrote this in 2009, just talking about the risk, the tremendous risk involved in the Word being made flesh. It says here, if Christ had failed, God the Father would have been sitting in solitary confinement for the rest of eternity. That's the kind of sacrifice these gods made for us. We can forget that in our callous, carnal thinking, but God the Father and Christ did it. And they did it for you. They want you to be aware of that. They want you to be aware of what they risked for family. They want you to know that everything was on the line. that Jesus didn't come as some pre-programmed robot. He came in the flesh. He had the Spirit without measure. But he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 12. He prayed all through the night before his crucifixion, sweating great drops of blood because he knew what he was about to endure through. That wasn't just some robotic experience. He was pouring his heart into his prayers that night for the strength, for the power to endure, because he knew that in making that or offering himself as that perfect sacrifice, that it would open up a family relationship with God the Father for all of mankind. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. We've talked more about just the intimate, close, united relationship between God and the Word. If you go back to the start of chapter 1, here it says that Jesus was right in the bosom of the Father. Thayer's lexicon says Christ was in the closest and most intimate relation to the Father. In this booklet, The God Family Vision, my father writes that that is where the Father wants you. He wants you in his bosom to have the same relationship that he and Christ have. It says, Jesus Christ set an example showing us how to have that relationship with our Father. Just think about this for a moment. Stop and ponder. Selah. God wants to extend that family relationship to you and me. That's what his master plan is all about. Like this title of the book says, it's the God Family Vision. Mr. Armstrong had another book on this title, or with the title, The Incredible Human Potential. What is our potential? It has to do with this God Family Vision. God is reaching out to his sons. He's a family being. When he said in Genesis 1 and verse 26 that he set out to make man in his own image and likeness, that's reproducing himself. How do human beings reproduce? Well, they do it through marriage and family. They do it through the sex systems that God created, male and female. It's right there in chapter 1 of Genesis. So clear. It's so clear. The world comes up with all these gray areas, but God just has it in black and white. There's this and there's this. This is the purpose. The two marry. They have children. Family. Why did God create family? Why did he make marriage? If God didn't, suppose you don't believe in God, but you see marriage all around. Who made it? Who came up with it? At what point in human civilization did it start? What human being said, you know what, we should call it marriage, and two should leave their father and mother and cleave to one another and marry and make their own family? God made it, of course. God established it from the very beginning, and he did it for a purpose. It's because of what his magnificent purpose is all about. My father says in this book, The God Family Vision, God the Father had a fierce determination to have a family. He is a family being. If he was in the flesh, we'd say he's a family man. God the Father, he's got this fierce determination. You see the last part of verse 18 where it says he has declared the Father, Jesus. That's what he did in the God Family Vision, this book we're offering today, at no cost or obligation. There's no cost for any of our literature. Just call our operators, go to the website, lifeandteachings.com, text your request. However you want to order the book, we'll send it out freely, and we'll also give you a free one-year subscription to our monthly magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Tomorrow's news today, you can understand world events as Jesus said that we should. Watch, he said, pray. You can understand world events under the clear light of Bible prophecy if you're a subscriber to this magazine. 1 year a free subscription. We just need to know where to send it. Coming back to God Family Vision, it says here, our number one passion must be to declare God the Father and His family. We need to move more into the bosom of the Father. God wants us to get deeply entrenched in His family. Jesus Christ led the way in declaring the Father, and now we're commanded to follow His example. It says this is the foundational truth of the Bible. Well, that sounds like a huge deal. That's a big statement. The foundational truth of the Bible? The God family vision? It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, if you don't believe God is a family and we're to receive everlasting life, well, what's the purpose then? What's the vision? What can we anticipate happening upon death? What about life after death? What work will we be doing? What will we be interested in? When it's a family plan, and when you think about the universe vision, all these planets, these dead planets that are out there that need life, well, you go through Romans 8, you go through Hebrews 2, you go through Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong's final book, and the picture begins to emerge. Oh, this is what God is doing. This is God's master plan. These are the details that we need to be thinking about regarding life after death. It really is, as the title of one of Mr. Armstrong's books says, it's incredible. What a vision. What a vision. Verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But then it goes on in verse 19 and says, this is the condemnation, though, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Mankind rejected this God family vision when Jesus Christ brought the message, the Son of God. He said, I was in the bosom of the Father. I'm still there because I go to the Eremus. I abide with the Father. I commune with God. I talk to Him often, hours at times. And I'm here to declare God the Father, to declare the Father. For much, much more on this subject, make sure that you call our operators or go to the website or text in your request for the God family vision. And while you're at it, as I say, make sure that you subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at TrumpetDaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
In chapter 1 of Mystery of the Ages, Herbert Armstrong said that his goal for that chapter was to help make God more real, God the Father, more real than even your own human father. With your human father, it's easy to relate. You can identify him, most people can. And you talk to him, you communicate with him. But how real is God the Father? How real is God the Father to you? What kind of a relationship do you have with the Father? Our prayers, after all, are offered up to God the Father. And Jesus Christ is there beside Him to assist in that communication line, to work with our prayers, to inspire our prayers. We pray the prayer in Christ's authority or name, as we're told to in Scripture? Let me just take you through a few scriptures before we conclude. This is over in John 8, verse 38. And you'll notice that the subject here, there's a lot of references to Father. Christ is having this exchange with the religious elites of his day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And it says here in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Well, who is their Father? Well, you can look down in verse 44 and see that Christ said, you religious leaders, you're of your father, the devil. Now, that's pretty harsh. That's quite a statement. That really offended a lot of people. You're of your father, the devil? Satan is a father. He's the father of this world. He's the father of lies. He's the father of murder. He's the father of religious deception. He's the father of fake religion. He's the father of shallow religion. They answered and they said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were really children of Abraham, you'd be a chip off the old block. You'd be like your father Abraham, but you're not living like Abraham lived. You're not obedient to God's laws like Abraham was. Look at Genesis 26 and verse 5 sometime and see what kind of man Abraham was and how obedient he was to God's laws and commandments and statutes. He was a man of God. He feared God. He followed God. He listened to God's instructions. But now it says, this is verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't go around trying to kill God's prophet, trying to kill God's son. That's what these religious leaders were doing. Verse 41 says, you do the deeds of your father. And then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Even the Jews believed in a father-son relationship. But their thinking was way off. And Christ was trying to help them to understand. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And then they basically answered by saying, well, you're illegitimate. Joseph's not even your real father. Where's your real father? You don't have a father. He did have a father. He does have a father. God the Father. Notice verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You see, Jesus did have a father. Now, this is a massive subject. When you think about God the Father, Christ the Son, the family of God, declaring the Father, how that father's in the home of a traditional family, they're actually a type of God the Father. And again, this should be an obvious point, because God created family, God created an ordained marriage, and he goes through marriage and family. In Ephesians 5, he talks about it some in Colossians, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11. There's order, there's structure. There are roles. This is the way God wants for us to build our physical families. And in doing so, it reinforces constantly what God is doing on the spiritual realm, reproducing himself. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 48. Here again, for those that would say, father, son, family, that sounds blasphemous to me. Are you saying that God is actually going to bring millions, even billions of human beings into his family through a spiritual birth? Well, that's what Jesus tried to teach Nicodemus in John 3. Read it. Read the first six verses. And then Matthew 5 and verse 48. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon in history. This is Jesus, the Son of God. This is teaching from Jesus Christ. It says in Matthew 5:48, "Be you therefore perfect." The meaning of be is become. "Become you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Notice Christ doesn't just say, "Listen, be perfect, even as my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." He said, "No, your Father. He's your heavenly Father." That's what God wants. When Jesus said, "I was in the bosom of the Father, I came to declare the Father," by declaring it, he was saying to you and to me, you can be a son of God. You can be in the bosom of the Father. You can be born into God's family. That's what the God Family Vision book is all about. What a tremendous vision. It'll take your breath away if you dig in to a subject like this. There's no deeper subject in the Bible, and this book will get you off to a good start in your diligent study of God's Word. That's all that we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit lifeandteachings.com.